Hello and welcome to another edition of Center Circle Live. Marty Thompson, Armin Badakian, and Oliver Platt back with you today. Lots of stuff to talk about, including the Canadian Championship coming up this week. But first, guys, let's start with the big result of the weekend. Cavalry 2, Forge 1, a massive late goal in that one, and really a great game, Armin.
Don't you just love the late dramatics in soccer? It's like the best part of the sport, let's be real. I mean, that last second goal by Nico Pasquati has already become part of Cavalry lore now. And I think I saw a video of Pasquati scoring a similar kind of goal back in his time at the PDL. So maybe for Tommy Wielding Jr., this was a case of like, well, you don't even know the secret weapon that I have in my team. But it was an excellent performance. I think Cavalry got a deserved result. I think we saw a lot of positive play from Forge. So one of the better matches, I would say.
And who's the most relieved man in Calgary right now?
Yes, Sergio Camargo. Yes, that was many good clips coming out of that game. And to me, that's maybe my favorite.
I think he tweeted after the game, like, thank God for Nico Pasquati or something.
he can laugh now.
That's a very good tweet.
Yeah, for those who haven't seen, just not a very nice miss for Sergio Camargo, unfortunately.
No, Marty, let's call it what it is. It's the miss of the season.
It's going to be tough to
beat. No, we'll see.
Early in the season. Yeah, another late goal. So now that's two for Cavalry in the week and two wins, 9 points out of a maximum nine. Oliver, and you wrote about it. You wrote about it this week, but top of the pops for a reason, right?
Yeah, it's hard to look past them for the spring season title, even at this early stage. I think you look at the schedule they have. They go back to Spruce Meadows for two games in a row now. If they can come out of those two with 4 points or 6 points. You know, they got one hand on the title. I'd say they might do already.
Yeah, it's getting really, really down to that kind of six-point gap that Steven Sandor sort of mentioned was a decider in some of those earlier NASL, shortened seasons. So if Cavalry FC, like you mentioned, can pull ahead, even with 3 points, I'd say even if they take 3 points out of that the next two, they have a real good shot at it, especially if other teams around them, I mean, Valor, potentially Forge, there's not too much competition in terms of whoever's left for them. I know that Forge and Cavalry meet again on June 22nd.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be an interesting one for both managers. That could be really a spring decider.
And like 20 points kind of seems to be what people are thinking will be enough to win the spring season. Do you buy that?
I think Cavalry could get to 20. I don't know if they need 20. I think enough teams will take points off each other and Forge play Valor next. So someone's going to drop some points there.
I think Tommy Wielding Jr. probably gets to like maybe, I don't know, 26, 27, and then Forge gets to 28 and he misses it just by 1 point. Where have we seen that before? I think, 20 is probably the number.
And quickly, that Ledgerwood celebration.
Yeah.
That was special.
Another great clippable moment from that game.
Yeah, I don't know what that was. We're going to call it wacky waving arm flailing tube man. I don't know if that's what it really was.
I think he's confirmed on Twitter it was supposed to be a windy tube man kind of thing. Yeah.
Except after the game, our Nolan Kangas asked him, hey, Nick, what was that? And he refused to answer.
Oh.
Just would not tell us what that was. He said it was an inside joke amongst his teammates. And I mean, we know what happens, you know, down in preseason, you're with the boys. Maybe that celebration can't be explained because it's a...
For Forge FC, a little disappointing, right? They played well. A late goal, really the decider in that one. Bobby Smyriotis post-game mentioned that free kick that decided the game, that set up Pasquati's goal. It was maybe about like 10 yards in from where the foul was committed. What did you take of that, Oliver?
I think probably a little bit of post-game disappointment coming out there. I don't know if he was really saying that had much to do with the scoreline. It was just kind of a pet peeve of his because I think it was happening repeatedly. Cavalry would just throw the ball a few yards forward every time they lined up for a free kick. And we know that Cavalry are the most dangerous team in the league when it comes to set pieces. So any advantage they can get, you probably want to avoid giving them. But I don't think it played a big part in the outcome of the game.
Look, I know this is a very serious podcast for very serious soccer fans, but isn't it cool that we finally have these coaching moments where they're just like complaining about things that don't matter?
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah, I mean,
I think that's awesome.
And the interviews after One Soccer have been awesome.
Yeah.
All the coaches have given great quotes.
Yeah, even Michael Silberbauer, who, we were kind of expecting him to be a lot more coy. He's starting to open up a little bit, share a little bit of his thoughts. And, kudos to Bobby Smyriotis for, If there's a reason, if he feels like it's something that's egregious, why not call it out, you know?
Valor 1, Halifax Wanderers 0 was another big match this weekend. Valor, second on our second ever CCL Power Rankings with a 2-2 record. Oliver, what did you make from that match? Obviously, that winner from Callum Ferguson, but overall a pretty good performance from Valor?
Yeah, I thought they were okay. They rode their luck a little bit. I think if Perret is up top for Halifax, is potentially a different story because they had some good counterattacks that... You know, it was just, you know, Secunda was on the end of one, DeCarolis was on the end of one. It's just kind of the players that you probably don't want in that position getting on the end of some good moves upfield. But I thought Valor were pretty good. And I think when you come off back-to-back losses, you have to kind of just grind one out, right? And get, you know, a solid 1-0 win and they'll build on it. And obviously, as we said, a big game against Forge next.
Yeah, if I'm Rob Gale, I'm more than happy with that result for Valor. I mean, it was like a shorthanded team. No Stephen Hoyle, no Joseph Gulabar, no Michael Petrasso. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got your new guy in, Marco Bustos, who I thought was, you know, really, really solid in his debut. I think he led the team in passes and touches, crosses, even his pass accuracy for any player who was like more upfield. He was leading the pack out of all players. So, I mean... That's coming off the back of something like a 20-hour drive from Oklahoma City. And it was cool because on the One Soccer broadcast, he actually said right before the match, like, the only reason he decided to join Valor, or not the only reason, but one of the reasons he decided to join Valor was because he watched some CPL action. He said he took in like 3 or 4 games, saw the level was good, saw the play was good, it was exciting, and he was like, yeah, I want a part of this.
Quite literally got in his car and drove there.
Yeah.
I want to get your guys' takes on Halifax too, because it seems like they're kind of going to be the counterattacking team of the league, the one team that's going to kind of sit back and try to nick points. Obviously unfortunate, as you mentioned there, Ollie, but you know, what do you think Stephen Hart needs to do moving forward, because obviously they're in a bit of trouble here in the spring season?
Just get some players back, I think. You know, get his best players, particularly at the top end of the field on a regular basis. I've been impressed by Code Aida. I think he's been a real nice surprise for a guy who was playing like literally amateur soccer in the US last year. So he's been a bit of a breakout player for them, but he needs finishers around him. And yeah, Perea wasn't there. Scooblack wasn't there. Karuma was only on the bench, maybe just getting a bit of a rest after a busy start to the season. So it's tough when you have 3 natural defenders in your 4-man midfield. You know, you've got to expect that you're going to need probably a few more chances than usual to get the finish. And yeah, that was what it kind of looked like.
And it's tough because Garcia's probably that player. Like, obviously, has a goal already and was lively in that game in Winnipeg. But yeah, just, you know, it just doesn't seem like, if you don't have Perea, right, it's tough.
Yeah, and it pushes Garcia out of position because he's now playing as number 9 when, you know, he's probably better out wide. So yeah, they just need to get some players back and get healthy.
Not to mention Juan Diego Gutierrez is like one of the best number 10s that we saw out of preseason. So the fact that they don't have him consistently, I mean, that's just putting their entire attacking ideas, all of your shape, into kind of question. And I think, like you guys mentioned, HFX's problems aren't necessarily what's on the field, it's just what's off of it. And once they get all those guys back, maybe they make a good push for the fall. I mean, I was more than impressed with the way they performed at home. That could really be like a good little fortress for them.
HFX shifting to the Canadian Championship. Meantime, Valor, as we mentioned, that's an important game against Forge, one to watch out for on Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern time start on One Soccer. And really quickly, Edmonton 0, Pacific 0. Not a lot going in that game, but there was a contentious red card decision.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it, it's the first 0-0 in Canadian Premier League history. But
we did it.
We are officially a soccer league. Now, the red card decision, I don't know. I was of two minds of it. When I first saw it, I thought, yeah, it's probably a yellow card. But then once you see the replays, it's like studs up, late, not particularly, you know, well-timed in terms of even if the ball was still at the guy's feet. And I can sort of see why it was a red card. At the same time, I think it sort of put Edmonton back on that back foot and they became more of a defensive team as a result of only having 10 men. So we didn't really get to see Jeff Paulus's promised attacking football yet.
Orange card for me. It was like one of those is right in the middle of, it wasn't malicious, but it was dangerous and reckless. And, you know, you got to have more awareness of your opponent when you slide in like that. So I can't really blame the referee, but it was just unfortunate because it obviously changes the whole game.
Yeah, the thing with the actual player, Philippe Lincourt, Joseph, is the fact that he's just a young guy. Like, you know, he's still learning. He's still kind of processing what it means to play at this pace, what it means to actually, you know, make that challenge successfully. And this time he was punished for it. But, you know, Jeff Paulus is going to take him into training the next day. He's going to tell him, hey, this is what, you know, let's work on some of this. Let's make sure that you get your timing right. Let's make sure that you recognize what opportunities to actually lunge in for and maybe work on the ones that you shouldn't. And he'll grow as a player for it.
I think Edmonton was actually quite impressive after the sending off, because you look at that second half, you know, they focus on set pieces, but they had a ton of chances. Shout out to Sun Yung Chan, who's, you know, I think maybe the first long thrower in the CPL. But they seem to do well. Again, they focus on the set pieces in the corners, and they nearly had it a couple times.
Yeah, they didn't look like they had 10 men, did they? It just looked like they were, you know, an evenly matched team. But in reality, they were down a man, and it's really down to Pacific FC to capitalize on it, and I don't think they did.
Yeah, I think that Edmonton didn't play badly, but I think in a game like that, you're at home, you're playing against Pacific without Haber and without Storosic. Like, with no disrespect to Pacific, because I think they are a good team when they have their best players in the field, but with those two key players missing, you're not going to get an easier home game than that all season. And, you know, in this short season, I think you need 3 points there.
Pacific moving on to host Cavalry in the Canadian Championship. More on that later. FC Edmonton, meanwhile, they have the bye. They take on Cavalry in the El Clasico in Calgary next weekend. That's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to be the very first El Clasico between Edmonton and Calgary. And boy, am I looking forward to this one. This is some real Alberta soccer.
And a good chance for Edmonton, too. I mean, if they get results here against Cavalry, I mean, you know, they have the games at hand. They could be the team that's chasing, right?
Right, still unbeaten. Yeah, another game with big title implications, which is crazy to say when teams have played two or three or four games, but it's the reality.
I'm going to say it from right now. Two red cards apiece. I'm laying down the gauntlet. Two red cards apiece.
I think Cavalry are too disciplined for that. I think they'll be frustratingly disciplined and not lose their cool as much as we might like to see as fans.
Well, agree to disagree.
All right. After the break, we'll be joined by HFX Wanderers fullback Zela Langwa.
Well, they call him Zoom for the pace that he brings on the field, but HFX Wanderers left back Zela Langwa is more than just a fast player. He's also a very, very effective one and a player who will be competing in the Canadian Championship on Wednesday night. Zela, thank you for joining us. So you and your teammates are in Canadian Championship action on Wednesday, but before we get into that, let's talk about your home opener at Wanderers Grounds. You guys defeated Forge in that incredible raucous environment, something like 6,200 fans. How special was it to be involved in a stadium like that, and how important was that win for you guys?
It was definitely exciting for the team. I think it was exciting for the team, exciting for the city. It was an important moment for us and for the city. Like, people weren't expecting us to come out so strong. People weren't expecting the turnout of the fans of the city to be so strong. And I think that it was a shocker for everybody, and it was a great moment for the city, for the fans, for our team, really.
So you guys have had a chance now to have some, regular season matches in the Canadian Premier League, but you're switching tracks to Canadian Championship action on Wednesday. You and your teammates will be taking on Vaughan Azzurri, the League One Ontario champions. And I imagine it's got to feel special to be taking part in this coast-to-coast, you know, Canadian Championship. I know it's being billed as the Battle of the North. How special is it going to be when you take to the field on Wednesday night and battle for the Voyageurs Cup?
Definitely very excited to be a part of the Canadian Championship. I've never played in it, so it's definitely something that we're all looking forward to. We're all looking forward to trying to get as far as we can in the tournament. Looking forward to playing big teams like the NFCs and seeing how we can compete against a top side like that.
When you look at the Canadian Championship, I mean, there's not a huge amount of history behind it. It was founded in 2008, but I guess you're really one of the first generation of Canadian soccer players to, you know, have this tournament growing up. How surreal is it? How special is it to be involved in this tournament that not only pits you against, other teams from your own league, but from teams across multiple leagues, MLS and PLSQ, and really all across the country?
I definitely think it's important. I definitely think it's the growth of the sport will come through this tournament, because I think everyone wants to see how big the CPL can be, how strong the players and the teams will be. So I think this will be a way to gauge how to gauge at the end of the day how great, how big, how good the CPL teams are compared to an MLS team or compared to a USL team. It'll be good to see the difference in level, a level of play.
So I know this year's tournament is an expanded one. There's 13 teams competing across four or five different leagues. And for HFX Wanderers, this is really an opportunity to vie for something special. But do you have a particular team that you'd like to see yourself, you know, tested against? Is there any opponent that you'd like to face?
I'm looking forward to taking on one of the MLS sides, Vancouver Whitecaps, Montreal Impact, or TFC. Just a gauge to see how good a CPL team is compared to an MLS team, and to see the level of players. I think that the youth talent we have in the CPL would be able to take on a big side, big team, or a big side, a big player who's in MLS or who's in USL, I should say. So I definitely think it would be good for the league to play against MLS.
And ultimately, the winner of this tournament, you know, has the Voyageurs Cup in their hands. It's a very, very special trophy for fans of soccer in Canada. But on top of that, it's a berth in the CONCACAF Champions League. Now, I know for the seven CPL teams, you know, this is the inaugural CPL season. A lot of things are new, but is it too early to start dreaming about, you know, a spot in the CONCACAF Champions League, maybe even winning the Champions League?
I definitely don't think it's too early. I definitely think that we have to set the bar high for ourselves, and I definitely think that we should go into the tournament thinking that we're able to win, thinking that we're able to compete, and thinking that we're able to get that spot. I really don't think it's too early. It's never too early, because you never know what could happen. So if every team goes into it with their strongest guys, goes into it with the right mentality, I think anyone can come out with a good result.
Zella Langua, thank you very, very much for joining us on CCL. We really appreciate your time, and best of luck on Wednesday.
No problem, man. Take care.
Bye-bye. All right, bye.
So this week we get our first taste of midweek Canadian Championship action in an expanded format, an exciting format. We saw the video that Canada Soccer released today, the day of recording, and get you pumped up. Eh?
Yeah, what is hype may never die. It's a little Game of Thrones reference for all my fellow Game of Thrones fans.
I don't watch it.
Nobody watches it. The same thing happened to Kurt on the broadcast. Like, Asa made like a Game of Thrones reference, and he just looked at him blankly. Like, really? Are you guys really doing this to me right now?
Yeah, I loved it. He's just like, yeah, I don't watch it.
Yeah, it's this obscure show called Game of Thrones on HBO. Like, I think like something like three or four people watch it, but I think you should check it out.
Pretty difficult to find yourself in a room with two people who don't watch it.
But it's true, yeah.
But
yeah.
Speaking of our own audience. Version of Game of Thrones, I mean, it is sort of a Game of Thrones here in Canada Soccer. I mean, you've got multiple different families, factions, you'd say, MLS, PLSQ, CPL. They're all vying for this trophy. And I mean, if you look at it, this might genuinely be the most exciting Canadian championship buildup I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so. Well, I mean, it's coast to coast, right? And you mentioned it today, Armin, you know, something just completely crossed my, just like, you know, never even thought of. This is the first time a team from Atlantic Canada is going to be competing.
Yeah.
With Halifax, right?
Yeah. And FC Edmonton has some history, but, you know, you've got Calgary involved. You have Vancouver Island now. There's all these potential matchups, and there's all these potential rivalries that could develop, the intra-league rivalries. I mean, how cool would it be to see York 9 take on, you know, Blainville in meaningful competition? Well, we know now. This is a first-round matchup, but it's also Ontario versus Quebec. It's kind of Toronto versus kind of, like, you know, in and around Montreal. And will we see the same sort of heated passion between two sides that maybe don't even like each other? Who knows?
Yeah, it's a proper cup competition now. Like, I think in past years, it's produced some great moments and some of the most memorable moments in Canadian soccer over the past 10 years or so. But it's always kind of just been that little mini tournament, you know. It's been the three MLS clubs in Ottawa and more recently, obviously, the PLSQ and League One sides coming in as well. But now it's really got a mix of teams, venues, players. Is a proper competition.
Yeah, I mean, when I think back on like the last 10 years, 11 years of Canadian Championship action, all I remember are these highlight moments. I mean, it just seems like every year this tournament just amazes. Like, even recently, Jovinko's game winner against Montreal Impact, or
like Jonathan Johnson's goal.
Will Johnson, yeah.
Jonathan Osorio coming up big in one of them. And then you go back into the past and you have guys like Dwayne DeRosario, that hat-trick performance, Amado Guevara, you know, the Chad Barrett, I mean, that 6-1 TFC over Montreal Impact to snatch the title away from the Whitecaps, I believe it was. So it's just been like a tournament steeped in these kind of heroic moments, and it's going to be fascinating to see how the CPL and even PLSQ, League One Ontario, how these like new teams can really impact the way this tournament's told.
So there's three games in the first leg for round number one. Vaughan's hosting HFX Wanderers. Blainville is hosting York 9 FC. And then we have the one all CPL tilt, Pacific FC hosting Cavalry FC. That one's 10:30 Eastern time on Wednesday, 7:30 Pacific time. The other two games at 7 p.m. Eastern. Any predictions for these games? I mean, you know, we were kind of talking a little bit before, Ollie. You know, these League One teams and these PLSQ teams, you know, they're quality. And, you know, they gave Ottawa Fury a run for their money. Blainville did last year. You know, anything that you kind of see out of these three matches?
I think the CPL team's got to be careful. You know, I think they have more quality on the park. You know, York 9 signed Abzi from Blainville because he was a standout player. So you would think that the CPL teams have the quality to win these ties. But I think, firstly, the first thing is that these CPL teams are young. The second thing is that a lot of them are trying to play in a very progressive way and play out of the back and take risks. And that can leave you open to counter-attacking teams. So you add in the kind of injuries that Halifax have going to Blainville, and, you know, York 9 needing a bit of confidence, having not won a game yet. And they've got to be wary here. They've got to be careful. I think they should win these ties, but they're not foregone conclusions by any stretch of the imagination.
You got to imagine, like, out of that three sort of fixtures that, you know, I think the York 9 versus Blainville one might have the potential for a bigger upset. I don't see HFX really struggling against Vaughan, just because Vaughan is, you know, they're a League One Ontario champion. They're a good team, but I think most of their, you know, star players, most of their good players are sort of bounced out and into York 9, you know?
Yeah.
Yes. They're a big team, though. You know, if you look at the rosters of past years for Vaughan, they're a perennial. You know, they're always competing for the League One championship, and they're also quite deep. You know, obviously it has the connections with Carm, with York 9 too. I don't know. I would think Vaughan would maybe have a little bit more of an edge.
I just see Blainville as being the team that kind of is ready to, you know, pull off an upset against a bigger team, just because Blainville is such a big unknown. I mean, even from the Montreal trials, when we did the open trials from coast to coast, I was more impressed with the talent on display in Montreal than any other stop, really. And it's a testament to, you know, the quality that exists in Quebec. And, I mean, you got to look at Blainville and say, you know, no team, or no CPL team from Quebec. It's our chance to represent our entire province. And we got to show why we're a big province and why we're a big player in Canadian soccer.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Blainville are probably the slightly bigger threat to cause an upset, just because, you know, York 9, as I said, we're still waiting for that first win from them. I think Halifax, you know, although they haven't got results on the road, they've looked a solid outfit, and they've looked like the kind of team that could get, even if they lose the game, get the kind of close scoreline that they can take back to Wanderers grounds, and we've seen how good they can be there.
A big storyline this year so far has been how the managers in the CPL have been managing the way the season has started, because the games have come so quick, so fast. And I'm just curious what you guys think about, you know, the Canadian Championship is, you know, a new competition. It's a new way for managers to maybe rotate their squads. You know, maybe they're not going to put as much weight in the Canadian Championship over the league. Like, how do you guys see that shaping out?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think that they're going to treat it as, I think some teams will treat it as a huge priority. Like, I know Jeff Paulus has earmarked this as, like, he really wants to beat an MLS team. That's sort of his goal. And I think that, you know, Forge is going to want to win everything that they can get their hands on. Cavalry is going to probably want to test themselves, because they probably feel like this team is worthy of the mantle. And I genuinely, you know, I don't see any coach looking at the Canadian Championship, even in the first year, and going, eh, not quite as important, especially considering that the Canadian Championship kicks off before the spring season ends. So they're looking at this as almost an opportunity to even take something away from the early parts of the season, where maybe they don't have the spring title in them.
Yeah, I really hope they take it seriously, because these clubs are still establishing themselves in their communities. They're still trying to earn fans. And like we were just talking about, this is a competition that can really produce some memorable moments that get fans coming back and buying season seats and really forming attachments and bonds with these clubs. So I hope they take this competition seriously and don't kind of see it as a distraction.
Yeah, let's round out our predictions, though, by maybe talking about that third game, Cavalry versus Pacific. Who do you guys have? Cavalry. I know it's a tough one.
It's tough to look past Cavalry right now.
Unanimous top choice for our power rankings.
And this is over two legs, so there will be a Spruce Meadows and a West Hills battle, and you got to imagine over two legs, Cavalry probably has it. But, you know, that's the beauty of CPL. I mean, we're saying these things as though they're, you know, foregone conclusions, but it's still very early. And, you know, one Marcus Haber return to the lineup and Pacific becomes a completely different animal.
Yeah, looking ahead, you know, there are some interesting matchups. For example, you know, if Pacific FC beats Cavalry and then maybe they beat Forge, they'll take on Vancouver Whitecaps, an all-BC affair. You know, there's a couple of those that we've seen. So what are some of those matchups that you're maybe hoping to see in the next couple of rounds? You know, there are a couple that are kind of intriguing.
Pacific Whitecaps would obviously be the one that stands out just the way the bracket has come out. But I think even if it's Cavalry or Forge against the Whitecaps, even though there's not the same local element, you've got two of the best CPL teams going up against a kind of rebuilding Whitecaps side. And I think a few people at CPL HQ would be pretty excited about that one.
I just want to see York 9 versus Toronto FC. Like, that's the one for me.
Yeah.
Forge, I want to see
Jimmy.
Well,
yeah. I want to see Jimmy Brennan taking on his old team. Like, I want him to walk through the gates at BMO Field, walk through the tunnel, and step back out onto BMO Field as an adversary and not as your captain.
Yeah, that would be an incredible story.
But that's the beauty of this tournament, is that it opens up these possibilities, intra-league possibilities, and it's just one of those, there's a magic to, even cup tournaments around the world, like, there's a magic to the FA Cup that isn't necessarily seen in the Premier League, where you see these like smaller teams upsetting the Giants or last-minute goals deciding two-legged ties, and It's a beautiful tournament to watch. And if the Canadian Championship has the precedent to carry into the future, I think we're in for something really special this year.
Mm-hmm. It brings the best out of stadiums like the Wanderers Grounds as well, where you can really pack people in and get that atmosphere going. That can play a real part in these 90-minute or 180-minute ties.
So we're looking at it from the perspective of, you know, these juicy matchups, but with seven CPL teams, that's more than any other league is putting up. There's three MLS clubs, one USL, one PLSQ, one League One Ontario. So if you're looking at it from like a purely objective statistical approach, there's a healthy contingent of options for CPL to actually win the Voyageurs Cup. Now, all that being said, assuming that a CPL team does celebrate the actual victory of the Canadian Championship, Marty, you and I were talking about this a little bit earlier, and we said, let's save it for the podcast. So let's actually delve into this. How would each of the CPL head coaches react and celebrate the procuring of the Voyageurs Cup?
Oh, my God. I think it would be, I just picture Rob Gale just at the Forks in Winnipeg, just like this huge street party.
Yeah.
I
also see Rob Gale like accidentally running it over in like a 4x4 or something, and just like a la Sergio Ramos, just accidentally like bending the cup and then like, you know, fixing it back in place, hoping nobody notices.
But like, you know, the idea of like, we're going to Disneyland.
Yeah.
It needs to have something like that. Is it Niagara Falls? I don't know.
Canada's Wonderland, yeah, something like that.
Yeah. For Vaughn, maybe, and for York 9.
Yeah, speaking of York 9, I mean, you got to imagine Jimmy Brennan's probably just dreaming of taking a drink out of that cup again. He's won it a couple times as a player, and he's going to want to win it as a manager. So I think that's how he would probably celebrate with some champagne. Stephen Hart, maybe a different taste. Maybe he'll
taste the soup.
Maybe he'll fill it with, you know, a good little chicken noodle soup after those misty HFX Wanderers finals.
Oh my goodness, can't wait. Yeah. Cannot wait.
I think the one person that we know for a fact would, you know, parade it around town, although not his hometown, is Cavalry's Tommy Wilding Jr. I'm sure he'll, you know, take it around Calgary and show it off, but he's going to want to take that back home to Merseyside as well. And, you know, because it's really the only silverware Liverpool's going to be able to celebrate that year.
Ooh. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, sorry. That was a burn on Liverpool. But you got to imagine probably, you know, Michael Silberbauer would just like send an email back home, just be like, hey guys, it took me like 3 months, conquered Canada.
You'd have to go the length of it to win it for sure.
What about Bobby? What would Bobby do?
Bobby Smirdiotis. Man.
That's a tough one. See, yeah, I could see Bobby doing one of two things. I could see him either just, you know, celebrating it, giving it back to the fans. He's really, you know, fan conscious.
Mm.
But at the same time, could you not see Bobby Smirniotis also just being like, yep, on to the next one?
Definitely. I mean, his demeanor as a coach for sure.
Yeah. And then are we missing anybody? I think Jeff Paulus.
Yeah.
What would Jeff Paulus do?
Oh, he's taking it outside. Anywhere outside.
Camping?
Yeah. He's taking it camping. We know the winter camp story. We've heard it a million times.
Yeah. That would be nice. I think, yeah, he would probably be like very introspective with it. and just kind of looking to the like reflection of it and be like, this is mine now.
On that note, the pursuit for the Canadian Championship and the Voyagers Cup begins on Wednesday. As we mentioned, Vaughan hosting HFX Wanderers, Blainville hosting York 9. Those are both 7 p.m. Eastern time. And then Pacific is hosting Calvary. That's 10:30 Eastern time, 7:30 local time. Guys, Canadian Championship's here, and then back to more league action on the weekends. Crazy times.
Doesn't stop.
Let's wrap this up with our prediction for who will win the Voyagers Cup. Realistically, it doesn't have to be a CPL team. Just who do you guys see as being the winners of this year's edition?
This year is really up in the air. I think TFC are at their most beatable. Even with the year they had last year, I think that kind of made it even more important to win the Voyagers Cup and get back in the Champions League. I honestly, I'm going to defer to you first, Marty, while I think about this.
Yeah, it's just the way, because TFC is defending champions, they start in that semifinal. I still think it has to be TFC.
They're probably still the favorites, but I'm going to go against the grain. I think Forge probably has it in them. I see that team being deep enough, especially if like Toronto FC doesn't necessarily start their best players. I mean, like you mentioned, Ollie, it's not their best season, so maybe they'll be in a point in their year where they have to make decisions as to how they prioritize things. And, you know, put up Forge team that has Emery Welshman, Kyle Becker, Quillen Roberts, a bunch of former TFC guys. And if they make that semifinal, I mean, they're going to want it.
Yeah, and you made up a great point, or you made a great point, Ollie, about Forge meeting Vancouver in that next round. Like, that might be the most beatable MLS team. And then after that, I believe that they go into that second semifinal that doesn't have TFC in it. So you could get, who knows, another CPL team, right, at that point?
Yeah,
for sure. I'm going to go, just to not pick TFC for once, because what is it, 3 years in a row now? Four years?
Three.
I'm going to go with the Impact.
Yeah.
Got some good young Canadian players in that team. Shamit Shoham is playing well in their midfield. So yeah, I'll go with the Impact.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be fascinating to watch it all unfold. It starts on Wednesday evening, and you can catch it all on onesoccer.ca.
Okay, guys, that's it for another week. So for Ollie, Armin, and myself, thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next week.